Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Good morning. So good to be with you. Aren't you thankful for the people that are sitting right by you today? Aren't they wonderful? Some of you are like, I don't know, this one, yeah, that one, maybe, we'll see. You have to be nice, you're in church. We're in a series called Next. God always has a next for you. And the reason that he always has a next for you is because he's always been on mission. And he's redeeming, and he's restoring, and he's renewing, and he's making all things new. As a matter of fact, the Word of God promises us that he will make all of creation new. And if he's making all of creation new, that means he's making you new too. I like saying that. He's making you new too. Will you turn to the person next to you that you've already agreed that you like them a lot? Will you turn to them and say, God is making you new too? Tell them. Some of you have a little further to go than others. Some of us are, you know, behind a little bit, but he's making us new. We have room to grow. Here's the scripture that we've been using from Isaiah as the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah to people who were in bondage, said this, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. God at this time was delivering his people from captivity in Babylon, and he's going to take them on a 900-mile journey, and he's going to take care of them, and he's going to provide for them. He was on a journey then with his people, and he's on a journey now. And he wants you, and he wants me to take the next step. But I have to have a caveat now, because a lot of us think in terms, when I say next, it's easy to think externally. And for some of you, you're like, for example, you just hate the job that you're at. And don't say amen or clap because your boss might be here too. but you just hate the job you're at and you say, yes, I'm just so thankful for this series because I need my next job. I hate my boss. Or maybe you had a really rough week in your marriage. And so you're like, I'm so thankful you're preaching this sermon. I'm really ready to move on to my next spouse. Oh, man, last service was way more forgiving on that. Are we going to be okay? No, that's not every next. Some of you are in transition and you're changing jobs. You're going through stuff externally, but that's really not what most of us are thinking of or going through. When I'm saying you're next, I'm saying that on the inside, where the kingdom of God resides, God always has a next for you because he wants to make you more like Jesus, more like himself. And so there might not be, I'm not saying it's time to move out of Cincinnati. No, don't go anywhere. I've actually had people come up to me like, yes, this next day. I'm like, don't leave. No, this is not what this is about. This is about you responding to the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to do what's next in my walk with you. When we talk about joining God on mission, we're saying and going to your next. The fact of the matter is, we have, most of us, come to a place where we've accepted Jesus Christ into our life personally. And we've said, I need forgiveness of my sins. I believe that you're the Lord. I believe the eyewitness accounts that have been given of you. And no matter what I may feel, I totally trust that you're the Savior of the world. And so we have accepted him into our life as Lord and Savior, as the forgiver of our sins, and he's made us new. He has justified us. We're just as if we've never sinned before. But when we accepted him into our life, listen to me, North American church, it wasn't just you isolated alone with your laptop computer and your cup of coffee watching church online. You actually came into the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God has a lot of people in it. And this is the way he designed it. You didn't just accept Jesus personally and it's just you and him alone forever. Actually, when you came into the kingdom of God, all these weird people that are sitting around you, and you know who I'm talking about. Weird is anybody not like you. All these people are your brothers and sisters, and you're in the kingdom. Let me describe the kingdom like this. The kingdom is, I just went all Mary Poppins on you. The kingdom is anywhere the king has dominion. Wherever the king rules and reigns in your life, whatever area of your life you say, Lord, I've given you my whole life. Wherever he has dominion or wherever would be under this umbrella, let's just pretend this is the kingdom of God. And so I've given him my whole life, and everywhere the king reigns and rules and has his way, that is where the kingdom of God is in my life. And this is the difference between you and Jesus, one of many, by the way. The difference is that Jesus always did immediately what the Father wanted him to do. Jesus was the only one, didn't need to be water baptized, but he, out of obedience to the Father, went down into the water. And he was baptized. Why? Not for the remission of sins, but just because he loves the Father and always immediately does what the Father wants. Right before he's about to be crucified, he prays, not my will. If there's any other way, it'd be nice, but Lord, not my will, but what? Yours be done. This is the difference, because when God asks you to do something, you kind of negotiate. Or you just say no on the inside. You would never say that outside, but you just show him by your actions that you refuse to do it. Are we still okay right now? The difference between you and Jesus is that when Jesus hears the Father's slightest whisper, he immediately does what the Father wants. But we say, yeah, I'm not really sure about that. I mean, there's parts of the kingdom where I've given him everything, and then he talks to me about another side of the kingdom, and I'm like, yeah, I'd like to hold that one out just for a little while, that section of my life, and see how you do with these other parts first. This isn't a matter of salvation, by the way. Really, what we're talking about is sanctification, the process of God building in you holiness by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have to go along with that. You can resist that, grieve the Holy Spirit, or you can go along with that. But the kingdom of God is wherever the king reigns. Now, the cool thing is that when we came into the kingdom, we asked Jesus into our life. They told me last night when I was using this umbrella, they're like, if you put that right over you, then nobody can see anything. I'm like, it got better right there. See, that's awesome. When you came into the kingdom of God, every single person who's in the kingdom were brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters. You know, it's amazing. You can travel overseas and you can meet Christians that you've never seen before in your life. And when you see them, the Spirit of God says, you're brothers. And you have this awareness that you're brothers and sisters with people that you've never met. I was at Lincoln Heights Baptist Church this past Wednesday, and I was preaching, which, dude, you can't say two words without all the crowd going, yes, brother. And I'm like, I could live here right now. I love this. I'm never shutting up. You know, after the service, they all came up and we greeted one another and we hugged one another. And man, it was just wonderful. How in the world do you do that anywhere else in the world but in the church? Because see, we're in the same kingdom. There's the Spirit of God that binds us together in the oneness and unity of the Spirit that makes us one, even though we've never met. You realize we have more in common than we have in difference. And the newspaper will tell you differently and draw lines between everyone else and make it all hyped up. This life mattered, that life mattered, this thing mattered. There's always sides. There's always two clear sides in the newspaper. That's not the way the real world works. But in the kingdom of God, by the Spirit of God, we have more in common than we have differences, you and me. And we're in this thing together. My point is that when you ask Christ into your life and you came into the kingdom where the king reigns, there's this beautiful unity of brotherhood and sisterhood that we need to embrace. And we need to realize we are not alone in this. When Jesus taught us how to pray, the disciples, noticing that Jesus prayed frequently, the one guy in the world you think wouldn't need to get alone and be with the Father, he got alone with the Father and he prayed. If Jesus did it, how much more do we need to do it? So that would have been a time at Lincoln Heights, they would have said, amen, amen, but I get it, I understand. You're thinking about saying amen, I understand. So Jesus taught us how to pray. And if you're from a Catholic background like mine, you'll have a hard time not repeating this while I say it. Matthew 6, 9, and 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, how is God's will done in heaven? Like that. Whatever he wants, he gets. But like we said, in our life, it can be a little bit different. Whatever he wants, is up for discussion. We want to come to a place where whatever the Father says to us, whatever He wants us to do, and whatever that next step is in us spiritually, that we just say, yes, Lord, we know that You're going with us. So here's the big idea for this weekend. Here's the big idea for this weekend. Why can't we stay here? I'm making the case that there's always a next. And I'm saying that the Holy Spirit of God has a next for you. Have you ever crossed a line where you like come through a season and you grow and you're like, the Lord taught you something, or your family came through something, and you like get to the thing and you're like, yeah, this is great. How long does that last? 3.3 seconds. Is it just me, or is the Spirit of God in you always talking to you about something where He wants you to take your next step? I remember when I was standing in the lobby of the church in Houston where we were at. Had been there for 9 years. And I'm not going to lie to you today. They loved us. Now they're Texans, so they love everybody. But man, they loved us. And we loved them. And when you're in a place where you're just known, your family's there. I mean, you're just there and you're all family and you've been there a long time. Westsiders know what I'm talking about. Dude, it's just cozy. And you're comfy. My kids, when they were little, called it being tumfy. I love that. It's comfy. And I remember standing in the lobby of the church there, and I was like, I did that sigh and that deep breath in, you know. That was a mistake. The Holy Spirit hears that. And literally in that moment, I sensed the Spirit of God saying to me, on the inside, and the only the way the Holy Spirit can talk to you, I have something for you. In that moment, you're like, oh, it's going to be challenging, isn't it? Uh-huh. It's going to be really difficult, isn't it? Uh-huh. It's going to be awesome, isn't it? Yeah. You're going to experience new freedom and new joy? Yeah, and peace? Yes. And the leading of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Going to be hard as hell? Yes, yes, yes. And you have this on the inside of you like, oh my gosh, this is what it is to serve Jesus. Did He just say hell? Yes, it is difficult, very, very difficult. Can we be real or not? It's difficult. The challenge is equal to the pain, and the reward and the gain is equal to the challenge that He's giving us to take that next step. Why can't we just stay here? We love comfort. Oh, we love comfort. Y'all wearing yoga pants everywhere and never going to yoga class. Like you just left yoga class to go to Walmart, not buying it. And men are just as bad because we can't wear yoga pants where people can see us in public. So we wear sweatpants, which is just a step above pajamas, right? And then people wear sweatsuits, track suits, really. Like, yeah, I'm about to go to do 440, what, relay? No, really, and then go to Target? That's what you're going to do. You're going to go, you haven't seen a track. Like, you're going to do long jump after you're here at Kroger? I don't think so. Just love comfort. We love what's comfortable. When we travel overseas, if you've been to European nations, you recognize the fact that they dress up for everything. Like, they're just going to the store, and they've got, like, an outer jacket, a vest, a tie, a shirt, they're layered, you know, like deep. And they're just going to the store. And then a scarf when we were there. Man, they look amazing. We walked the streets of one of the cities in Germany, and it's like, they're not very nice. They're just not laughing like Americans laugh and like we, you know, talk and stuff. But they look great. They look amazing. But we got back to CVG, and we're like, all right, now we're home. Why? People standing around the turnstile where you pick up your luggage, everybody's in their pajamas, basically. And they're laughing and they're talking. We're like, oh, I love you, America. You're so wonderful. All these people standing around in sweatshirts and hats and, hey, what's up? And I'm like, we are not in Italy anymore. We love comfort. And I'm just warning you that if you really want to experience all the good things that God has for you, He's not near as interested in your comfort as He is in your character. And He's not near as interested in He's not interested in all in fulfilling your dreams. How's this for a sales pitch for Christianity? He's not going to fulfill your dreams for your life. He will fulfill His dreams for your life. Good news, his dreams for you are better than your dreams for you. Say, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And I believe in achieving things and going after things, but the fact of the matter is, the stuff that I would try to achieve or the things that I would dream, they pale in comparison to God's dream for your life and who he's making you into. So he's not into making your dreams come true. He's into making his dreams for you come true, which are much better. Why can't we stay here in our pajamas at Walmart? Why? Why can't we? Well, let me tell this story from the Old Testament. I've shared with you about the Old Testament, and I summarized the Old Testament, and I oversimplify it in this way. It's basically a story of God's people. They roam away from God. They then usually get taken captive. Weird and strange prophets come to them and tell them what they need to do. They cry out to God in their captivity. God hears their cry and is compassionate, works miracles, and releases them from their captivity. Then they roam away from God, and then the process repeats. And there's always idolatry involved. They're in the kingdom of God, but they have idols. And the idols end up causing all kinds of problem in their relationship with God because it's the heart that God wants more than anything else. And these idols take the place and they become a place of stronghold, a place where the enemy can take people captive. Let me describe it this way. The story goes that the Israelites were in a certain area. And there was an army against them who had laid siege to the city, the Arameans. They laid siege to the city, which means they surrounded the city and cut off all of the supply routes to the city coming in and going out. And there's very graphic detail, the Bible being completely honest and truthful always, that they were under such duress and there was such a famine in the land because of the siege that the enemy had laid around the city that they were actually taking part in cannibalism in this story. There's graphic details about this famine that was going on. The enemy had laid siege around the city. There were no supplies going in and out. And let me remind you of this just in the middle of the story. Any area of your life that is a stronghold of the enemy will prevent the supply line from God coming to you and going from you. You can be in the kingdom of God, born again, on your way to heaven, and have a miserable Christian experience. Because what you do is you're in the kingdom, but you just don't let the Lord reign in many areas of your life. He can be your Savior, but you're not really allowing him to be the Lord. And that cheats you of new freedom that he has for you. There are areas of your life. Some of you are looking at me like, is he going there? Oh, we're going to go there. There's parts of your life that you say, Lord, you can have this and you can have that, but this area over here, this is my precious. I'm keeping this one for myself. So they were laid siege, and there was a stronghold there. Outside of the city, the story goes, or the skirts of town, in the outskirts of town, there were four leprous individuals. And they were sitting on the outskirts of town, and they knew that there was a famine in the land, and they were starving to death. And so they start talking with one another, and they say this in 2 Kings 7. If we decide to go into the city where there's a famine, we'll die just the same as if we stay here. So why don't we walk over to the Aramean camp, the enemy's camp, and see if we can get some food? I mean, it's our only hope. They're reasoning with one another. If we live, then we live. But if we die, then we die. And I added this parenthetical thought, but we can't stay here. Why can't you stay here? Because if you stay exactly where you're at right now and you never grow, you will die in that same spot. So they said, we can't go over here. We definitely can't stay here. Our best chance is like choose where you want to die. Where do you want to die? At the same time that they were saying that, there was a prophet Elijah in the city. And Elijah was in the city, and he actually told the people, he said, God's going to deliver us. By this time tomorrow, we will have more food than we know what to do with. At that time, there was a person who the king was using as a servant there, and that servant said to Elijah, that ain't happening. I mean, even if the heavens opened wide up and food just kind of poured out, that still wouldn't be able to happen. This is a good time for me to say, how many of you know that whenever there's a word from God for your life, whenever there's a next step that he has for you to take, when there's always going to be somebody around who's going to be a naysayer about that very thing? There will always be negative people about the kingdom of God or about the stuff that God's doing in your life. Or as soon as the word of the Lord comes out, they're like, yeah, I doubt that. 12 spies went out. 83% of them that came back said, we cannot do it. Not even with God, it's not possible. We are grasshoppers in their sight. And it was two, Joshua and Caleb, who said, we're well able. Let's go up this afternoon. We've got the Spirit of God with us. Let's go. But that is rare. Elijah says, by this time tomorrow, we're going to have more than enough. There's always some person. I wanted to say a word there or a name or call them something bad, but I didn't. I did good. Next service, I probably will slip and do it. There's always somebody who is willing to say something against the word of God that he has for you. And so what happened was these four men with leprosy went to the camp. And when they got to the camp, they realized that the Spirit of God had caused a bunch of noise and done some things and scared the Arameans away. And they were so frightened that they left all their food, all the silver, all the gold, everything. And you can imagine these guys walking into this camp, they're starving to death. They hit the smorgasbord, you know? They just started killing. They started burying silver and gold. And after a while, they're laying back, you know? They're like, oh, we should probably go tell other people. You know, they started to feel guilty, as the story goes. I'm paraphrasing, of course. The point is this. The area that you are afraid of in taking your next step, you say, I can't stay here, I'm going to die, but I'm really concerned about this next step. God has already gone before you. He will never ask you to do, listen, he will never ask you to do what he hasn't already done. He will never ask you to do something alone. God doesn't send people on an errand. God always goes with you. Not only does he go with you, but he goes ahead of you. He goes before you and makes a way. The very thing that you're fearful of, that he's saying, I want you to take this step with me. I want you to step out, and this is your next, and you're scared. You don't anticipate this, but you need to imagine the Spirit of God doing this with you. What if you're not alone? What if you have help as you go? I was standing in the lobby of the church, taking that satisfactory kind of, yes, we're doing well. And then the Spirit of God said, I have more for you. And I'm like, Found out it was Vineyard Cincinnati. We come to the church and we're walking around the campus, and I asked him, I said, why are you interviewing me of all the people that you would interview? You guys have really reached the bottom of the barrel. This was my feeling on the thing. Oh, thank you for one person who said, oh, you're not bottom of the barrel. You're definitely right there in the middle, Rob. You belong in Cincinnati, a nice middle place, middle ground. I got here and I asked them, why in the world are we talking? And Pastor Dave and the board had a list that they felt like the Spirit of God gave them of characteristics of the senior pastor that they wanted to find. And all these people had not met the standard. And they showed me this list. And it was like reading from some personality profile of my life. It was me to a T. And I said, God has gone before me. I mean, I was nervous and I was afraid, and you might be nervous and afraid of that next step, but I'm telling you, there's already a list. He's already gone before you. He's already prepared the way. And how many times have you stepped into that next thing that he has for you, and you're like, what was I waiting on? Whatever he's asking you to do, he's already there. Whatever he's asking you to do, wherever he's asking you to go, that's not saying it's going to be easy or simple. It's not. But he's already gone before you in that thing. See, we can't stay here. We've got to be like those four. If we stay here, we die. If we go backwards, we die. We might die if we go forward. Let's go find out. Our best option is death in that direction, which ironically is what the Christian life is. Pick up your cross and follow me. Why can't we stay here? There is more to your life in Christ than where you are right now. There is more. There is more than you are experiencing right now. No matter what you're experiencing in your life with Christ, there is more to experience in him. Paul said, I haven't attained it, I haven't achieved it, but I press on and I keep going for what? The upward call of Christ. There's an upward call that he has for you. My concern is that there's so many Christians who are not living that full and abundant life that Jesus talked about. He said, the enemy's come to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I've come that you'd have life, and life what? To the full. What does that mean? The perfect life? No. It means a life that is full of God's freedom. There's an excitement when you're going towards that next thing with Him. It's not easy. It's not perfect. You make mistakes, but you're on a journey with Him, and that's what it's about. We can't stay here. He has more for you than where you are right now. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. Listen, God has more freedom for you in your life than you're currently experiencing. God has more freedom for you than you're currently experiencing. And that's His goal, that you become more and more like Him. Now, He has more freedom for you to experience. Now we're going to get into a difficult part in this last part of the message. We can't stay here because we all have things we need to leave behind. How many of you who've given your life to Jesus would say you had to leave some things behind? Be honest. Raise your hand if that's you. You witness to the person around you. How many of you say you've been tempted and maybe have at times gone back to the thing? Oh, no, wait, before I say that. How many of you had to leave people behind? And you didn't want to, but you did. And you want them to catch up, but if they don't, you're going on. How many of you will admit that since you've been serving Jesus, you've been tempted and at times have gone back to those things you left behind? Just every believer I know. And so there's things that we need to leave behind. The Bible describes the kingdom of God this way: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. That when I come into the kingdom of God and I accept Christ into my life, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And usually to the measure that we're experiencing the righteousness of Christ is to that measure that we're experiencing peace and joy. So there's some things that we need to leave behind. Let's talk about righteousness for a minute. There's a sanctification process that God has all of us in. And we're holier now than we were before. And He's doing this work on the inside of us. But for some of us, the next step is a step towards Him in righteousness. Which, by the way, isn't us pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and doing it, but allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work in us that He wants to do. So, sexual immorality. I don't know if we have a problem with this in our culture or not, but I'll talk about it anyway. If you want to please God, now I wouldn't get on the news and say this, because not everybody wants to please God. But in this place, my assumption is you're here on a Sunday. It's Sunday fun day in our culture, but for you, the fun is coming and being with God. So I'm assuming that you want to please Him, and if you want to please Him, we don't live like the culture that we live in anymore. Now, some of us, before we were serving Jesus, we shacked up. You know what shacking up is? You know this friends with benefits stuff? Like you need to live with somebody and kick the tires before you're married? That's what our culture says. You might not be surprised to find out that God doesn't like that. So what He likes is He likes for you to be in a bond of lifetime commitment in marriage. That's what pleases Him. And then that purifies sexual intimacy. But if you're going around from person to person having sex outside of marriage, that's not pleasing to God. And so He wants to rule and reign in every area of our life. And I already know this. You're not experiencing peace and you're not experiencing joy. As a matter of fact, that's the one area that will be a stronghold for you in your life. The enemy will come and remind you what a terrible Christian you are. So what you do is you repent. You turn from that sin. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will empower you to turn from that sin. You do whatever it takes to get away from that sin. And then you get with other brothers and sisters that will help you. This is one of the greatest tragedies in, I believe, the North American church, is that we're such bad speakers. We're such rugged individualists. You cannot survive your Christian life all by yourself. You saw the TV shows when you were growing up, the Mutual of Omaha stuff. Which one does the lion and the tiger go after? Which one? The one that's off on its own. That's the one it picks off. We need to be together in this. And this is a community of believers. So you confess it before the Lord. You say, Lord, I don't want this in my life. And then you find brothers and sisters who will help you to break totally free. In James, it says, confess your sins one to another and you will be healed. There's healing that can come from brothers and sisters dwelling together in unity and sharing life together. That's on you to find those relationships, or you're struggling with being drunk. God doesn't want you to be drunk. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The reason he doesn't want you drunk or stoned out of your mind, or me, the reason he doesn't want that is because then he doesn't have control or dominion in your life. That's not a kingdom life. And when you're drunk or stoned out of your mind, either the enemy will control you or your flesh will control you. And those two options are going to produce really bad results in your life. But mostly they're not pleasing to the Father. And you want to be pleasing to him. By the way, if you are shacking up, since we're talking about it, email me at robking@vineyardcincinnati.com, not just to tell me you're shacking up, but you say, I want to get married, okay? And you say, I want to honor God. And what will happen is you come into the office, and we do free office weddings. There's no financial burden whatsoever. And we've done so many of these, and we laugh, and we cry, and here's what's thrilling about it. Not that you've checked some approval from the church or me. That's not what you want. It's more important than that. But that you're saying before Almighty God, I want my life to be under the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of him. And here's what you're going to experience. And here's what I tell every person I say, you're going to experience more grace in your relationship than you've ever experienced in your life, because you're pleasing God now. And his smile and an open heaven is going to be over you. And his smile is going to be upon this relationship, because you're doing it the way that he desires you to do it. If you're struggling with an addiction, all these things, I would encourage you. Maybe you just need to build some relationships. We have Life Reset that happens Mondays at 7 o'clock. And you can come, and the people there are normal folks who are going through normal stuff, and we're in the kingdom together, and you can share, find some people that you trust, and get free from that stuff. Listen, there is more freedom for you in Christ than you may be experiencing. And the depression that you're in, or the drinking that you're doing, or the binge stuff that you're doing, or the pornography that you're in, you can be set free from all of that. You can be, by the Spirit of God. You don't have to live in bondage. And you don't have to have that stronghold in your life anymore, where the enemy has cut off all the supply routes from God to your life, and where he's wreaking havoc. You don't have to have those areas. Life is difficult enough, and serving Christ is a trial enough without these areas in your life that are areas of bondage. Here's how bondage works. Here's how it is when you get a siege kind of area. Here's how you know. See, what happens, the enemy lies to you. That's how he's the father of lies, and he only knows lies. He destroys, he kills, he lies. He can't create anything, he can't make anything happen, so he lies to you. And he lies to you about areas of your fear. So, for example, you're never going to amount to much. You're going to be alone. Nobody cares. He's got a million lies. And they all speak to whatever fear you have. I'm unlovable. So he'll tell you, you're unlovable. And it speaks to a fear. And then what you'll do with that is you'll seek out things that'll make you comfortable or feel like you're loved. You'll go to all kinds of bad relationships, or if it's alcohol, or just get numbed, or drugs, or whatever it is. We turn to all kinds of things. And the reason we're turning to them is because we believed a lie, and it's based on that fear, and pretty soon we're in bondage. When you're in bondage, you find out you're in bondage later. You didn't set out to be in bondage. It's not that you want to view pornography and be addicted to that. You're in bondage now because you went there because of a lie. A lie that said, you'll never be satisfied without this. See? And then it becomes a stronghold. And now, without even really knowing it, you're in bondage. Oh, you're in the kingdom, but you're miserable. You're in with the Israelites in the city, but the enemy has laid siege around your city. You're in God's kingdom, but how effective are you going to be for him? And God wants you to be free and effective. And he wants, when the people come around you in your life, he wants you to be free so that you can be a witness and testimony to what he can do in a life. So what do? We always confront the lie with the truth. And that's why every morning, 100% of us are reading our Bible. We're reading our Bible because that's the truth of God's word. And then he tells me, you're loved. You're my daughter. You're my special selected son. And I love you. Man, and stuff starts to change. And all of a sudden that lie, we see it for what it is. That's a lie. And then love, perfect love, casts out fear. And pretty soon we stop fearing about, I'm not going to have all my needs met. No. I have a Father in heaven who's watching over me. And he's gone before me. And he knows my name. And he cares about me. And he loves me. And pretty soon I don't find solace in all those things I used to find solace in. The only reason I don't get stoned now is because I don't want to be stoned. It's not that once you become a Christian, you can't use a lighter anymore. Oh, I'm saved. It won't work, you know. No. I forgot how to use a bong. I don't know. I'm saved now. No. You got to not want to. And in order to not want to, you got to have something replaced. A love for him that replaces your love for everything else. That everything else in your life would pale in comparison to your love for him and what he's doing in your life. That you're too thrilled to be drunk anymore. You're too excited to be. You don't want to be dissipated anymore. You want the Spirit of God speaking to you, moving in your life. You desire this now. And all of a sudden, what happens is that you're not searching after all those things for comfort anymore. And you realize the bondage is kind of gone. You have freedom in your life. And usually with me, it happens like this. Like you're walking along and all of a sudden you're like, dang, you feel that? I can tell you, there was stuff in my life not so long ago that were total addictions. And just walking with Jesus over the process of time and going to the next. And pretty soon you look up and you're like, man, I got issues I got to deal with, okay? I got issues. I've got a next too. But the stuff that's behind us and the freedom that we have, now we're able to face it. He wants you to live free. He's got new levels of freedom for all of us that we could be on mission with him. Some of you are worried. The engineers are like, he's going to step on that and hurt himself. But I'm going to kick it back. We're good. What happens is then you have joy and peace. There are areas in my life, areas in your life, where you're free from that bondage. Man, I sleep good at night. And the enemy doesn't have a playground on those areas. And I just want to tell you that you have that capacity of the Holy Spirit in you too. And with brothers and sisters in Christ together, us walking together as imperfect people, but with a perfect spirit and an excellent spirit within us, I want you to see yourself as being free. There's hope for all of us to take that next step. We can't stay here. We can't stay here. The kingdom is too big. I mean, and the stuff that God is doing is too great and it's too important. And he has new levels for us to go to. And I know you want to go there too. Would you stand with me? We'll pray before we head out. And we do need to pray for the Bengals today. Sorry, it just, Atlanta's going to be a tough test. There's prayer and communion up front, not for the Bengals, but for you. But, you know, if the Spirit urges, go for it. So we'd love to have you come and pray if you need that, or maybe you need to do some work today that we've been talking about and receive some communion. The team would love to facilitate that afterwards. Would you bow your heads with me and we'll pray before we go. Lord, it's always such an honor and a privilege to be together as your people. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for your beautiful family that you've allowed us to be a part of. Thank you that none of us are alone. God, I pray that you'd help us to be with one another, to comfort one another, to exhort and encourage each other in this walk that we're in. Father, I pray in every area of our life where we need to take that next step. God, I pray where people are afraid that you'd give them courage. God, I pray that where people doubt that you'd give them real faith and trust in you. And God, I pray that they'd take that next step and not take it alone, but with others. So I pray this blessing from the Lord upon you today, that you'd go in the power of his Holy Spirit, that you would know his great love for you, and that you would sense his divine peace in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.